Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. If you don't have, you don't think you have reason to praise God, wait 5 minutes. The reasons are all around us to praise Him. Got some cool things to share with you today. I'm going to tell you what happened last week. Amazing, just amazing. Absolutely amazing. Our God is so amazing. He's just amazing. He's amazing. He's really amazing. He's really amazing. He really is. I hope that out of your belly where your spirit is, something begins to start flowing. Something begins to start moving out of your spirit and just break loose with some joy. Break loose with some excitement about who's living inside of you. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's get the blinders off. Let's remove everything that's keeping us from seeing what God's done for us and who He really is. Let's get Him off. Let's see with good, clearer vision. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want you just to have a good time when you come in here on Sunday morning. I want your jaw to be hanging all week long. Like, see that? Oh, my God. Did you see that? Oh, that makes my day when I hear that. Praise God. I'm gonna give you a little more on the testimony from the last mission. One thing, I remember we were talking to you about the boy. I don't know how old he was. He stood about that tall. He had a crutch, and his leg was really deformed. It's like from the knee down was taken off, moved up 6 inches, and stuck on the front of the upper part of the leg. It looked like a big knuckle. Well, you heard that we saw some movement in that, and he was able to get some movement in his leg before we left, and we saw him walking a little ways without a crutch, and we knew that the healing was released and he was going to get the fullness of it. Well, last week I heard back from the head pastor over there, Pastor William, and he said, I have to tell you, you know, in Acts it says, it was talking about a notable, remarkable miracle. There are some miracles that just don't go any farther than the immediate people right around you. But there are some miracles the Scripture calls notable and remarkable because there's many people that know about the situation. And when they hear what God does in performing the miracle, they rejoice. And everything begins to change. And this young man was... He was known by all the people. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people around knew of this young man and the disability he had. And they felt sorry for him. There was nothing that anybody could do, they felt, for him. And Pastor William said, I want to let you know that he's 100%. Everything is back perfect on his leg. He's running, jumping, and playing. He said, but the amazing thing is, that word spread through the whole refugee camp. And every church that's in the refugee camp was absolutely packed out, thousands of people outside the churches, because they heard of this Jesus that came that did this for this young man. He said, we are in massive, full-blown revival. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. I was sharing with Al this morning, and I said, you know, here's the way it works. When you're in a body, okay, you're in this body, when one rejoices, we can all rejoice. When something happens in one of our lives, it affects everybody in this assembly. It affects everyone in this body is affected by that. That's why I make it a point, I'm not getting depressed. I'm not getting down, because it will affect the body. I'm not going there. I don't need to go there because I don't have any reason to ever get depressed. Did you hear what I said? In the natural, I have reason. But in the spirit, I have zero reason because of who He's made me to be and who He is. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I want to, before I get going on anything else, I want to thank Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your awesome presence. Thank you for your beauty. Thank you for bringing the sweet aroma of Jesus in our midst. Thank you for letting us see what we've never been able to see. Thank you for allowing us to step into the truth that we are sons and we are daughters of the living, one true living God. Jesus, you gave us your name. You gave us your anointing. You gave us your authority of your name. You gave us everything that we need. You sent us the Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We're grateful. We're grateful. Completely, utterly whack us today in a way that we've never been good whacked before. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I wanted to just run something by you because it was mentioned to me, and I don't know that we've ever said anything about this from up here, but it needs to be said. It's been a number of years that the Holy Spirit began to reveal to us to look at the words of the songs we're singing. Now, how many of you know when you sing, it's not just speaking words like this? You put yourself into it, right? Okay, when you're singing, you're putting yourself into it. And it has more of an effect on you than just speaking normal words. When we sing something, it has more of an effect in the spiritual realm than when we're just speaking words. And he had me begin to listen to the words of the songs that we were singing and began to change everything that was old covenant to new covenant. It started with, while we're singing songs, even here, years ago, while we're singing songs here, I was changing the words for myself. I was changing the words from old covenant words to new covenant words. We're not under the old covenant. We're under a new covenant. It's a better covenant. We have such riches that have been given to us in Christ that they're past naturally finding out. We cannot. But the word of God reveals it to us. So there's this song, I am desperate. What's the words of it? I'm desperate for you. Okay. All right. First off, that should never be sung in a new covenant body of believers. Should never be sung by a believer. Okay, the word desperate, first of all, means hopeless. It means there is no hope. I'm without help. I'm hanging out there. Okay, we are not desperate for God. As new covenant believers, we're not trying to get God to come. He's already come. When you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, he came to live inside of you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's not going to go nowhere. You've got him. We keep looking for God up here. Just point your head down a little bit because he's right here. He's inside of you. And he'll never leave you. And we don't have to ever have to beg God again to come. If you look at this, I ask a lot of the conferences we do, I'll ask them, how many of you are hungry for more of God? How many of you're desperate for a move of God? You're desperate for more of God? You really got to have more of God. Everybody raises their hands. Look at this scripture. I'm going to show you. I'm only going to take a couple minutes to do this and then leave you to reflect it, you and the Holy Spirit. John chapter 6. Jesus is saying, verse 35, John 6, 35, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Hello. Have you come to Jesus? Is he living inside of you? He said, you will never thirst again. You will never hunger again. You will never need to cry out again. I got to have more. You got them all. You see, Christianity really is just about us understanding the truth, placing faith in that truth, and watching the Spirit of God release it. That's it. There's no struggle in real Christianity. There's no work in real Christianity. The last work you do is to place total faith in him, and after that, just watch him. I know people tell me that's too easy, that's too simple, it can't be. That's because you've got years of religion under your belt. You've got years of training about all the things you've got to do to move heaven, to move God. No, heaven already got moved. God already got moved. He got moved 2,000 years ago, and Jesus did everything that we needed to have done for us, and now he's waiting on us just to believe. That's really my message. What is it out there? Remember when we were out there in the mission field, what's the message? Only believe. The answer to everything is just believe what Jesus has done for you. Already done. Okay, look at this. Go back to chapter 4, John 4. John 4. Okay, is it the well with the Samaritan woman? He says in verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst." Whoever drinks of the water that I will give them will never thirst. Do you think that it's fair for us to change that word, never, to sometimes? That's what the church has done. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. It's his life. His life is in us. And he wants us to so trust him, so believe in him, that his life freely flows because the resistance is gone. Amen? So, I want to ask you to enter in on that same road. You will be amazed. I really don't listen to any Christian radio stations because the main reason is because it's amazing to me. There's this thing called Christian blues where they're basically complaining. Does that belong in a new covenant believer's life? It's bad enough to think it. It's even worse to sing it. How bad my life is and how much I need God to come. Wake up. He's already come. Hallelujah. So I basically stopped listening to Christian radio because there's so much of that kind of stuff on there, and I got kind of tired of changing all the words. So I'm either making my own songs or I'm singing in songs in the spirit, and hallelujah. The only thing that I want to give to the devil is the dust underneath my feet. That's it. That's really it. So let me tell you about what happened this last week. As you know, I told you last Sunday that we had this major mediation thing for a job that went bad a number of years ago, and all the word for the last 4, 5, 6 years. Since this thing has been going on, was that it's going to take us out of business, and we're going to be wiped out. Now, when that kind of stuff comes to you, you have a decision to make. Here, look at this. Look at Isaiah 53, verse 1. Harvey's on it. Isaiah 53, verse 1 says, Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has believed our report? Whose report do you believe? Do you believe the report of people around you? Do you believe the report of lawyers? Do you believe the report of doctors? Or do you believe the report of the Lord? You know that's going to be tested, don't you? It's going to be tested so that your faith can be refined and be shown to be pure gold in the sight of the Lord. That the spiritual realm can see this faith inside of you and see that this is a believer. This is one who is believing in the truth of what Jesus has done. Whose report are we going to believe? Now, it was amazing to me because, for all the days that I was there, it was really nothing but negativity. And how many times did I hear, it's not going to work, it's going down bad, it's not going to work, it's going down bad. And every time I heard that, if I had a chance to speak to the person that was saying that, if they were looking right at me and speaking to me, I would respond to it. And I would respond, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. It is going to work because it's already been taken care of. What do you mean it's already been taken care of? It's already been settled. What? It was settled 2,000 years ago. No, I couldn't go. There was lost people all around me. I couldn't go into any more detail. But it was amazing to me to see. I would have to say 99.9% of the people in that whole thing were negative. Negative. All negativity. And I stood there, and I didn't realize till after I had got back. It was over Friday, and I got back. And I got back, and it began to hit me. It was like, because all day Friday and into Saturday morning, I was in like a God stupor. Do you know what that is? I was in like a zone, a God zone. And people were saying things to me, and it's like just there ain't nothing going in. There's nothing going in. And I sat there listening to all this stuff, and not 1 second was I stressed. Not 1 second was there an ounce of worry. Not 1 second did I lose the peace of God. I sat there basking in the glory. It was amazing. And I know that it was all God. It was none me. It was all God. And the only reason that happened was because I believed. I believed that He has my life, my future. Look at, go over to 46. Isaiah 46. Wow. Yeah, y'all know that our God is a God of faith, right? He's a faith God. Everything He does is out of faith. Okay, all the worlds were created by His faith. Everything that He has accomplished is done by His faith. He's a faith God. Okay, and the way it works is, Isaiah 46:10 says, declaring the end before the beginning. God declared the end of your life before your life ever began. God declared the end of your trials before your trial ever showed up. God declared the end of your sickness before your sickness ever came to your house. God declared the end. God declared the end of your life. What's the end of your life on this earth? You're going to look like Jesus. You're going to act like Jesus. You're going to walk in the authority and power that Jesus walked in. God is able to see your entire... I can't ask you what I was looking for. This is your life here on earth. It's the beginning of your life on earth, the end of your life on earth. And all this room is eternity, okay? And here's your little life in all of eternity. And God is eternal, and He sees everything eternally. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He sees the beginning. He sees the end of everything. When He declares His word, when He declares something, that something is done. It's eternally done. All we do is place faith in what God has said. That's our part. That's our only part. Christian religion has given us a whole long list of things we got to do. But if God declares the end of your life, He sees every single issue you're going to have all along the way, sees it before you're ever born, and He brings an answer to every single thing that will ever come. If you believe that, what does it do for you when you're in the middle of the trial? What is it? Yes, peace. Because you know He already saw it. He already provided the answer. And His favor is upon your life. Yeehaw. Isn't that awesome? So I just sat there knowing that. Knowing that it was going to get settled, that there was not going to be any issue, and that it was an amazing thing for everyone. It was amazing. Everyone was shocked. And at the end, all these guys, there was maybe 5 women and maybe 30-something men, all in this big room. And they all turned and they looked at me when it was announced, it's over. It's settled. And they all looked at me. And I watched their lips, and nobody said anything, but I watched their lips, and they all did this. Thank you. They all looked at me and said, thank you, like I did it. They knew, this is no ordinary dude here. There's something going on with this guy that we've never seen before. We saw, as my wife put it, a huge, major, colossal miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I submit to you, this is normal Christianity. I tell you, it's not because I'm special. This is all of our inheritance. All we have to do is believe. Okay, the trials that come, get excited. Get excited, not because of the stuff that's going on in the trial, but get excited because God's glory is going to show up and his kingdom's going to invade and heaven's going to demonstrate the truth. Get excited. Don't get depressed. Jesus' name. Jesus. Casey, tell him what you got, the news you got this week. Is that a miracle or what?
I figured I'd just break the ice with that one. Most of you, I don't know if all of you know or not, but back in May, the end of May, my wife suffered two major heart attacks. The first one that she had, they call it the widowmaker, where less than 5% even survived the heart attack within the first 5 minutes, and she was in cardiac arrest for almost 2 hours. During that first heart attack, they sent her home, and then the very next day she had another cardiac arrest and back in the hospital. After the first one, they said that her heart fraction rate, which is the percentage of your heart still working, was like 35% left. After the second heart attack, they said it went down to almost 20%, which means automatic defibrillator, can't do anything, pretty much is bedridden and weak for a long time. Anyway, she was so little because, I don't know if most of you seen my wife, she was 80 pounds when she had the heart attack in the hospital. So she's so small they couldn't put a defibrillator, so they would put on an external defibrillator in a vest type thing. I called it a Unabomber. But this vest, it was meant to where whenever if your heart goes into another arrhythmia or whatever, all these alarms would go off and these LED lights would start flashing, and you'd have to reset this alarm if it's a false alarm or it's going to shock you within 30 seconds. So so she's panicking and stressing wearing this vest because in the middle of the night it would just go off. In the middle of the day it would just go off for no reason. So I finally told her, I says, who are you placing your trust in? Are you going to trust Jesus for your healing for this, or are you going to put trust in the man? And she says, you're right. So she took the vest off. She wouldn't wear it no more. Okay, so we went to, so that's just kind of like the backstory. So she was supposed to wear this vest for 4 months, but she only wore it for a couple of weeks and says, forget it, I'm not wearing it. So we actually sent it back to the company that makes it and says, we're not going to use it, so no sense spending money on it, so you can have it back. Well, we went 2 weeks ago back to the cardiologist for her 4-month checkup, and they did all the tests on her, echocardiograms and all this stuff. And last Thursday we went in to see the cardiologist. And the first thing he starts in on is he starts drilling us because we sent the vest back and she's not wearing it. It's supposed to protect her, it's supposed to keep her safe. And we told him, it's like, it causes stress and anxiety. What good is that? Our faith is in Jesus. That's where we're standing. We're believing for complete healing. And he's just shaking his head saying, this thing is supposed to save your life. You're supposed to wear it. And then he just pops the paper up and goes, well, lucky for you, your test came back 100% normal. Her heart was 100% healed. So it's like, so the doctor's standing there, and now he's looking at this test results and looking at Julie, and he says, I guess I'll see you in a year, because it's like there's nothing you can do. And his very words was this: in our medical profession, our community, this does not happen. when you're down to that far of left of your heart left, it's like it just doesn't recover. And she is 100% complete recovered. And so his very words was like, you are a miracle. He said, because I've never seen this. We can't explain it. But you are completely healed. And that's coming from the doctor. So, I mean, that was really cool. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, God is good.
Yeah, he's going to have something to think about. Yeah, some. I call it faith seeds that I leave with a lot of people, okay? We need to be able to tell when you're talking to someone, are they receiving what you're saying, or is a wall going up? If a wall's going up, cut it short, okay? So I try to make the testimonies I give people that I know they're not born again, they're not saved, make them short and quick, and I just pop them out, and I wait for them to respond. A lot of times they don't say a word. They just go on like I didn't say anything. Sometimes they'll stop and they'll say, did you say, could you explain that some more? Gladly, okay? They just open the door. Now I'll bring in some more, okay? Now, we don't force salvation on people. It's the Holy Spirit who draws them, okay? We need to be sensitive to see what's happening when we're speaking to them. In my early Christian years, I was one of those guys who hammered people over the head with the Bible. I mean, I would harass them. I would drive them nuts, leave phone messages, send them letters, do all kind of leave little books in their vehicle in the passenger seat, you know, for them to read, little tracts and all. I do all that stuff. That's stupid. Don't do that. Bringing somebody into the kingdom is the work of the Holy Spirit. He's living within us, and he will lead us in exactly how to say, what to say, if to say anything at all. It's really, he doesn't even need us to speak. Sometimes it's just give the person a hug. Let them cry on your shoulder. You know? Amen? So, what I want to, I'm only going to get started on this today, okay? There's no way I can get done with this, but I want to, there's a couple things that we need to be aware of if we're going to begin to walk in the Spirit and walk according to faith. And we need to understand, we have to be in the Word, okay? We need to begin to know the Word of God so our mind can get renewed. But there's two big areas that need to be addressed. Number one, we need to be able to tell the difference between are we reading Old Covenant or New Covenant. If we don't know, then find out, okay? Find out what Old Covenant is, find out what New Covenant is, and all of the Old Testament needs to be interpreted in the light of the finished work of Jesus. Everything we read in the Old Testament, we need to read in the light of what Jesus has done. Okay, but I'm not talking about that today. The other thing is, we need to know when, if you go on the Living for Jesus website, you'll see a whole list of scriptures that address who we are in Christ. Scriptures in the New Testament that talk about who you now are in Christ. When you received him, when you became born again, Scripture directs itself to you. But if we don't, when we read a lot of these scriptures, if we don't understand this one thing I'm going to tell you, then you're going to get very confused. And the one thing is that there's only one part of you that got born again. Your spirit got born again. You're three parts. You are a spirit person. You're a spirit lady. It has a soul. You have a mind, will, and emotions that you use living inside of a body. You have three parts. And Scripture, when it talks about who you are in Christ, it's talking about your spirit, your new born-again spirit. It's talking about who you have been made to be, who the new person born in heaven. That's what it's talking about. Because if you read it, you may think, man, that isn't reality of my life at all. Like it says in 1 John chapter 3 that, If you are born of God, then you don't sin. Well, who in here can say, I don't have any sin in my life today? Praise God. Hallelujah. But there's always tomorrow. Okay. 2 minutes from now. Yeah. But your spirit. That scripture's talking, and so many scriptures are talking about your spirit man cannot sin. Your spirit man was born in heaven, born holy, has the nature of God, has everything just like Jesus has, living inside of you. Your spirit is what's being addressed, talking about who you are in Christ. Okay. So if we read those scriptures and we think, there's just no way, or worse yet, I got to try to change myself. How many of you have found out you can't change yourself? There's no amount of work. There's no amount of striving. There's no amount of... You ever try to change your wife? You ever try to change your husband? You're going to find that it doesn't work, okay? You can't change yourself and you can't change someone else. You can't do it. It doesn't work that way. But if we're born again, our spirit is holy. Our spirit is pure. Our spirit is righteous. Righteous, just like Jesus. Our spirit has the same anointing as Jesus Christ. Our spirit, man can do all things. But here's your spirit stuck inside of a body. In order for your spirit to come out, it's got to go through your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And when we are born again, we get a brand new spirit born in heaven, but we don't get a new mind. We don't get a new soul, and we don't get a new body yet. Right? Is anybody here, you got born again, you looked in the mirror, and you were like 80 pounds lighter, and much younger, and no. Okay, that doesn't happen, okay? It's our spirit that gets changed. So we have to realize when we're reading these scriptures that God's talking about our spirit. Understand this. When he sees you, when God looks at you, he looks at you according to your spirit. He looks at you and he sees Jesus. Because it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, that the Holy Spirit and our spirit, when we're born again, become one. God looks at you, he looks at your spirit, he sees the Holy Spirit, he sees Jesus. He doesn't see your messed up flesh. That's how he can do all these things that he does. Because it's your spirit is the key. Amen? Okay, so we got Christians that are living out of their soul. And they don't know, they've never been taught, they've never been trained as to who they are in Christ, and they're trying to live out of their soul. They're trying to live by their feelings. They're trying to go by, I just don't feel like I should be doing that. Okay, well, I don't feel like I should pray. I don't feel like I should go to church. Okay, they're living out of their feelings. They're living out of their soul. And then a true spiritual believer, no matter what their feelings say, they ignore it, and they live out of the Spirit. They live by what the Word of God says. If the Word says it, that settles it. I believe it. It's over. It's a done deal. I don't care what kind of mess I'm in. God says he's already handled this for me. He's already provided a way for me. And it's settled. It's done. So I don't care what I feel like. I don't care what people tell me. I don't care what's going on around me. This is the truth, and I'm standing in it. That's a spiritual believer who can walk by faith and who can walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is where the action is, gang. It's really where the action is. I mean, it is absolutely such a thrill to me to be able to see all the things that for years came against me, and I would internalize it and take it in, get stressed out, couldn't sleep all night long. I would worry. If I wasn't worrying, I would worry why I wasn't worrying. It was that bad. I mean, I was a senior in high school. I lost my whole senior year of high school because of bleeding ulcers, because I was a stressed out kid. I mean, it was bad. It was really bad. And I had to get saved. And then I had to begin to learn. Scripture says that once we get born again, now our soul needs to get saved. Our mind, will, and emotions needs to be saved. Your mind, will, and emotions is in the process of receiving salvation, in the process of being changed to think right. When your mind begins to think the way your spirit already knows, then really, heaven breaks loose. Big time. Big time. Big time. So, how many of you remember the Blues Brothers? Okay, it dates a few of you. Okay, remember their song? I'm a
a soul man. I'm a soul man. I'm a soul man. And the last verse of their song was, and you're a soul man. Not only am I, but you're a soul man.
And there are many Christians living like they're soul men. Like they're operating out of their soul, their feelings, their emotions. That's how they're living. By what people say and people think rather than what the Word of God says they are. Here's the way the song should go. I'm a spirit man. Oh, yeah. I'm a spirit man. Oh, yeah. I'm a spirit man. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. You are a spirit man. 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 That's who you really are. That's who you really are. Pull back the veil. Can you see it? Don't just see crazy Tony here, okay? Can you see it on the inside of your body? You were born and you died. And you were born again. And you're sitting here today. You were born into this world with a spirit that was dead in trespasses and sins. That didn't know how to do anything but sin. That didn't know how to do anything but live for itself. That's the way we were all born into this world. But when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, that man died. Died. You're a spirit man. You're a spirit man filled with the Spirit of God. That's who you really are. I pray we can begin to see who we really are. So, look at this. Maybe there's somebody who'd like to do a little exercise work with me this week. I can hardly breathe up here. Yeah. Woo. Amen. 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 We're used to living carnally. We're used to living according to, you know, what we feel, what we sense, what our body's telling us. We can't discern the characteristics of our spirit person by feelings. We can't discern what our spirit really looks like by what somebody else says or what happens to us. We can't. There's only one way to discern it, and that's through the Word of God. How does that work? If I were to say to you right now, are you hot or cold? Just right. Okay. Every one of you instantly knows the answer to that, right? Because your body is constantly telling you its condition. It's telling your soul. Constantly telling your soul its condition. If I were to ask you, are you happy or are you sad? Is there anybody who would say to me, excuse me, Tony, I got to go outside and pray for 5 or 10 minutes to find out if I'm happy or sad? No! You instantly know if you're happy or sad, right? Because your soul is letting you know right now. But if I were to say to you, what's the condition of your spirit? You cannot discern that by feelings. The only way to know the condition of your spirit is by the Word of God. That's the only way. You can't know it any other way. That's why we've got to be in the Word. That's why we need to know the Scriptures to talk about who God says we are now in Christ. Because when you read it, You take it by faith. You say, yes, you say that I am the righteousness. I am your spirit, man. He's talking about our spirit. Remember that. You may feel like, I'm not righteous at all, man. You're looking at your actions. You're looking at what your body has done. You're looking at the bad thoughts that you had. God doesn't see that. He sees your spirit. And when he's talking about your spirit, he's talking about who he made you to be. And that's what we need to find out and believe. And when you place your faith in it, that, yep, I'm the righteousness of God, the Holy Spirit sees the faith and he releases it. He releases the truth of that. That's how it works in true Christianity. Okay, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? 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 Where's the Holy Spirit? Where is he? He's become one with your spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17, the Spirit of the Lord and your spirit have become one. That means that whatever is true of the Holy Spirit is true of your spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's all inside of you right now and available to you right now. But if you believe, you don't know how, you got to beg God for it. God, please come and give me some patience. You don't understand who you are and what you've already got. So you can't place faith in what he's done, and the Holy Spirit can't release it. Does that make sense? Oh, my. Oh my. Okay, so I'm going to just do a little bit. We'll finish this some other time. But look at all through the New Testament, you see Apostle Paul's writing about us being in Christ. In Christ. How do we get in Christ? How do we get in Christ? Huh? Turn to Galatians. Look at a couple scriptures to tell us. Real simple. Galatians chapter 3. Are you there? Galatians 3 verse 26 says, "For you are all sons of God. For you are all sons of God." How? Through faith in Christ Jesus. How do we become a son of God? Through faith. You believe. You believe what Jesus had done for you. You believe that he took your place. He took your punishment. He took all your sin upon him. You believe he did all that for you. You believe that. Okay, so we become a son of God, a daughter of God, by faith, just simply by believing. That's it. Verse 27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Okay, here's a lot of confusion. A lot of the church thinks we're talking about water baptism. That when you get water baptized, it's not talking about that at all. It's talking about, for as many of you as were baptized by the Holy Spirit into Christ, Holy Spirit, put your new born-again spirit. When you place faith in Jesus Christ, you instantly got a new spirit man born in heaven. Instantly, the old spirit man was crucified and gone with Christ. And the Spirit of God baptized your new spirit into Christ. I like that word baptized because it means immersed. It means completely joined together to the point where one or the other is not distinguishable by themselves. You become one with the Spirit of Christ. It's not inside of you is your spirit and the Holy Spirit, your old nature and your new nature. Uh-uh, that's all a lie. Inside of you now is one spirit, your spirit and the Holy Spirit together, one. Are you going to feel this? No. Are your emotions going to tell you this? No. What's going to tell you this? The Word of God. It's just going to come from the Word. The Spirit of God baptized your new person, your new spirit, into the Holy Spirit. Completely immersed, completely drenched, completely made one to the point where I give this example overseas and they really like it. How many of you drink tea? They all drink tea. Your hot tea. When you put your sugar, how many put sugar? They all put sugar. A lot of sugar. in their tea. I said, what happens when you put your sugar in your hot tea and you stir it up? I said, can any of you pull that sugar back out after you've put it in there? Can any of you separate the sugar from the tea anymore? Is there any way you can do that? No, it's impossible to separate it because they've become one. That's what happened with your spirit and the Holy Spirit when you were born again. Became that one. That one. People say to me sometimes, wow, what you just said, is that you or was that the Holy Spirit? And my answer is yes. No, no, you didn't understand. Was that you that said that or was that the Holy Spirit that said that? I say, yes. No, you're not understanding. Because the Christianity today thinks we're separate. They don't understand we've been made to be one. Our spirit and the Holy Spirit are one. We are one. We are one. You have the mind of Christ inside of you. And the more we get this truth inside of us and believe it, the more the Spirit of God can release it. And I know. I know He leads me. It's not me. It's us. It's us. Glory. Glory to God. Look over at this other scripture in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, your old spirit person, was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. You understand what he's saying? He's saying, you don't have to sin anymore. You're in the nature of your spirit now is holy. Where before we had a nature that it was our nature to sin, our nature to get our own way, our nature to do our own thing. You don't have to anymore. All we got left is the memory of the way we used to think. That's why our mind needs to get renewed. He's saying that your old man was crucified with Christ. Your old spirit was crucified with Christ. As many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit did the same thing. He took your old spirit person and put him or her into Christ at the cross. When Jesus died, your old spirit died. All the history now that we are born again, all the history that Jesus has now becomes your history. It says in 1 John chapter 5, as He is, so are we in this world. You read that without knowing He's talking about your spirit man, it's going to cause confusion. You're going to say, I'm certainly not like Jesus in this world. There's no way, because you're looking at the outer man. You're looking at the way you still think. So you still got some stinking thinking. You're looking at that, okay? Instead of looking at, He's talking about your spirit and who you really are. As He is right now, so is your spirit right now, sitting right here inside of this body I'm looking at. Your spirit's the same as Jesus. His life and your life have become one sitting here right now. As he is seated above all principality, power, and rulers, authority over everything that could ever come against you, victory over anything that could ever want to think about coming against you. As He is, you are. Right now. Is that good news? It's really good news. So what? How do we get this stuff to work in our life? You believe. You believe that that's the truth, that what you're feeling, what your emotions are telling you, what those lusts and drives that are still inside of you are telling you, that's a lie. It's not the truth. The truth is that you're a holy man. You're a holy woman. You're filled with the life of God. And you got the goods to bring to people. That's the truth. So we believe it. And we begin to see it. That's it. I'm stopping with right here, okay? There's a whole bunch more I want to get into some other time. But right now, if we can, because we want to do communion. We want to do communion? Did you see these guys flying flags today? She's over here doing this with the flags. And I'm picturing this like, you know, in an airport. They're saying, you can land right here. You can land right here. And then he's over here. Did you guys see him? He's like. Yeah.